Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a handbrake off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone, and this is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. We're recording this the morning after we went out of the Europa League on penalties. On a dramatic night at the Emirates, we'll talk about that as well as a little bit about the new board structure and a few other bits and pieces. And we'll have a look forward to Sunday's game against a now Patrick Vieira-less Crystal Palace, sacked this morning. I'm joined by Amy Lawrence and Adrian Clark. Morning.
Hiya.
Hello.
Morning. Pep Guardiola was a bit upset this week, apparently, because he was talking about when Julian Roberts went to Manchester United instead of Man City. Goodness knows how he's going to feel when he hears that Kim Kardashian was at the Emirates last night. We were wondering about famous Arsenal fans, essentially. I had no idea that Kim Kardashian is an Arsenal, was an Arsenal fan. She may not be, to be honest. Who's the most famous Arsenal fan you've encountered, Adrian, on the breakdown? I mean, obviously, it's like the red carpet, the Oscars, isn't it? When you do the breakdown, but who have you had in there that you'd say has got that fame level, or who would you like?
No one of Kim Kardashian's level, I've got to say. Although we did have another of the massive influencers earlier on this season, Logan Paul, who was probably, you know, he's got a lot of followers.
Yeah,
I'm not massively familiar with his work, but I did mention it.
With his work, I mean, what does he actually, I don't know what he does. You know what, the kids will probably be shouting right now at the pod, but he came in, did he?
He came in, well, he did a pitch side thing with us. We almost got Jamie Foxx, the actor. He was very keen to come on, but was filming and it overran. So we ended up not having him in, but the door is open for him. So yeah, we've had some great guests. Funny thing is, our guests usually go in the box that Kim Kardashian had last night, but basically she blocked it off. It was a block booking for her and her entourage. Obviously she brought her kids. So we were a little bit short on celebs last night because they were all told you can't come because Kim's coming. So yeah, that was quite interesting. On my hit list, having seen her on the One Show recently, declaring her love for Arsenal is Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
She would be brilliant. I'd love to get her on. She seems excited about the Arsenal. That's the aim.
I love it. By the way, it's a couple of things. I've always wanted an entourage. I've always thought, wouldn't that be fun to have a few people just trailing along, carrying stuff for me? Amy, you've run into various famous Arsenal fans about the place, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about a few that I haven't actually, because I think obviously football has become so globally important and mega in the last few years that I think all sorts of people you don't expect suddenly declare interest and what have you. But not so long ago, actually, it was, you know, Arsenal had quite a good reputation for having famous fans at a time when football was quite unpopular and looked down upon by the great and the good. Years and years ago, I was in the Highbury Barn after a game and queuing for the phone box, because in those days, kids, we didn't have things attached to our fingers. We had to stand and wait for someone to put 10p into a machine that was attached to a wall somewhere
2p,
or whatever.
I remember,
okay.
But go on.
Yeah. Anyway, there was always a queue at the phone box at the Highbury Barn after the game with people getting in touch with whoever. And Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, also a famed Arsenal supporter,
now John
just
Lydon,
came bowling over. And it was a bit that there was a part, he basically glared at everybody and was so antagonistic and a bit scary that everyone just let him basically go at the front of the queue. It was like a parting of the waves, rather like the poor people sat underneath the waterfall at the Emirates yesterday who suddenly had to clear the space.
Yeah, well, we do, yeah.
But at least the Emirates' problems in terms of liquid stuff are not as bad as that at Old Trafford, for anyone who saw that clip going around on social media about the toilets at Old Trafford overflowing recently.
No. Well, there's been a fair bit of shit coming out of Old Trafford recently about our injuries. But anyway, by the way, a couple of things. I'm told that Kim Kardashian's kids were in Katie McCabe and Viv Miedema shirts. So that's good, isn't it? I think that's very, very encouraging. Also, Logan Paul, 25 million Insta followers. So that's a lot of clicks there, Adrian. It's pretty good. Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner's a big gooner, isn't he? Apparently he's been to games. Is
Ian,
he not?
Nobody's going to know who you're talking about, mate.
Kevin Costner. All right. Well, anyway, Kevin Costner. I do think he should have gone to the Wolves game just for the headlines, personally. But anyway, apparently he's an actor. He's done a lot of stuff. Ask your parents.
We have 11 finals to go, and that's it. That's the main focus now, so... It starts already now in the dressing room to recover well and to change the focus. So that's what we have to do.
Arsenal 1, Sporting CP1. Sporting went through 5-3 on penalties. A rather disappointing night, made worse by a couple of injuries to Tommy, Yasu and Saliba. Contrary to what Erik ten Hag might think, we're not completely injury-free. And why is he even talking about us? What's it got to do with him? Anyway, Adrian, strong team last night. Some key players were rested, but Mikel knew this was going to be a tough game. Almost your first choice defence.
Yeah, a lot of people are, in hindsight, when I was coming home from the game, I had the radio on and a lot of Arsenal fans were calling in saying he got it wrong, went with too weak a team. And I don't think many people were really thinking that ahead of kickoff. I certainly wasn't. I thought he got it right in terms of the players that he sat out. Saka and Erdegaard and Partey need protecting. He gave Jesus a start, which I was all for. And it was a team that was good enough to win the game. And we could have won the game. It was fine margins. Obviously, Trossard 1v1 had a great chance. And
it was a brilliant header at the end as well. Yeah. We'll talk about that. But
it was a brilliant save. You know, a couple of good saves. Their goalkeeper was pretty inspired. I think we ran into a Sporting team that played excellently over the two legs. I really do. I just think that they probably played slightly above themselves. And because we had rotated 3, 4, 5 players, it just impacted our flow, our control of the game. So I don't think there's any need for a big sort of review of it. It was just one of those nights. And let's think, the goal that they scored was just a very special goal as well, wasn't it? From 46 yards.
It was a pretty good goal.
Over the head of Ramsdale.
Pretty good goal. But don't say there's no need for a review of it, because we're just about to do one.
I mean, don't need to do a post-mortem look for what went wrong particularly. I just think it was a very, very even cup tie that we came out on the wrong end of.
Amy, the injuries, Tommy's looked bad, really. I mean, the player did a really nice turn and he sort of left him doing the splits. Saliba, I mean, again, we don't know. I mean, I guess it's not worth speculating. Players will get injured in games, whether we're playing in the Premier League or the Europa League. So it's one of those things, isn't it? Really?
Quite. I mean, I definitely was... I saw some people on social media afterwards really losing their shit, you know, about this, and almost fault-finding in every conceivable way. Is this the worst thing that could have happened? And honestly, if you could have said what was the most dreadful set of... the last thing you want to do is play 120 minutes, then go out on penalties and get injured player. And I just think everybody needs to chill out a bit. I really do on that front. And... You know, I speak as someone who was very pro Europa League in the last few years. While Arsenal have been in it, people have poo-pooed it slightly. And I felt it was a competition Arsenal really needed to take seriously in previous seasons. This season is different. It's a unique set of circumstances. It's a, if not quite unique, opportunity. It's a very, very unusual opportunity for Arsenal. And I just look at the fixtures ahead and when possible quarterfinals or semi-finals might fall. I think once you get to a semi-final, you know, you're all in, obviously. And indeed a final, you know, that's just fantastic, whatever the situation. But 5 more games, considering what's coming up, particularly in the last, you know, never mind the last 11, but when it really heats up come the last 9, I can't say that I'm... everybody always wants to win, obviously, you know, whatever the situation. And I think the apart from injuries, the biggest disruptor maybe is momentum. And I think that that's one of the reasons why Mikel went so strong. Yes, he wants to win the competition, but he wants to keep momentum going. But I don't suspect there is going to be a great deal of brewing over this. The Man City defeat was probably one that had a bigger impact, and the response to that has been magnificent. I think this is something that needs putting into context within the incredible scenario that Arsenal find themselves in the Premier League. And agreed totally with Adrian. I thought Sporting were excellent over the two legs. Very worthy. And I'm not sure how much I feel motivated to argue the toss about who played or whether Aaron Ramsdale could have got closer to any penalties or whatever. There are times when those things are really necessary. There have been other Europa League exits where it's felt like a proper post-mortem are necessary. This isn't one of them.
No, no. As you said, Adrian, I mean, I saw that tweet you said outshot us 7-14. I think you did that at the end of normal time last night. They, I mean, as you said, I mean, they're fourth in the Portuguese league. Either the Portuguese league is a lot stronger than we ever suspected, or as you said, they just played really, really well last night.
They did, and they played well in the first leg. And as part of the build-up to the game, I was going through some of the numbers from the first leg. Their expected goals was higher than any other Premier League team has managed against us all season. Their expected goals in that first leg. So they caused us problems, and they also caused us problems at times last night. We had a brilliant save from Aaron Ramsdale with his head, which was an interesting one.
Yeah,
they were very good. Look, the players will be disappointed. Players, from my memory and my experience, don't really think about fatigue, or they don't really think about fixture backlogs. All they want to do is play and win. So they will be disappointed because they want a medal. They wanted to go to Budapest and win a trophy, because how many seasons do you get at a club like Arsenal in your career? It's limited, isn't it? It's a short space of time. Players do never want to go out of trophies. But I think we can see the bigger picture from the outside looking in. And I am struggling to find a single reason not to think that the exit will help us in our title push. I just think it has to. Those extra games would have taken something out of us with the travel, with the fatigue, physically, mentally. So, and I would much, much rather go out in this game than go out in the semi-final second leg when you've completed the four games and then you still get nothing to show for it. So I do see it as a slight blessing in disguise. But in the same breath, like everybody, wanted to win it. So there's a little pang of disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, it was a slightly weird atmosphere. I was watching on TV last night, wasn't there? But I felt there was a different sort of atmosphere to the league games last night, which I think also reflects the fans, most fans, mixed feelings about the whole thing. Just a couple of more moments on the game. The goal, our goal, by the way, I thought Reece Nelson got things going quite nicely. He sort of put in a cross and it lifted the crowd. I want to mention that pass from Jorginho, Amy, for the goal. Another reason to think he's an excellent signing. I mean, we all sort of come round to it pretty quickly. But that, you know, we've got players sitting on the subs bench, essentially, who can produce that sort of stuff. This augurs well going forward, doesn't it, really?
We've got Emile Smith-Rowe, who's not getting a kick,
yeah,
by the way. Yeah. And that was one thing I found myself thinking about last night at one point. I thought he's a player I would have quite liked to see in the mix. And I know, obviously, there was all sorts going on that meant substitutions were more complex with the injuries and so on. But there is a wider kind of niggling feeling, really, about Emile. And it seems that Mikel Arteta, has decided that he really wants Fabio Vieira to be important. And this is a completely over-the-top comparison because it's not the same situation. But remember when Willian first came and it wasn't quite happening for him, and he kept picking him and kept picking him and kept picking him and kept giving him minutes and games as if it was like, look, it's bound to happen eventually. And I think the club do see something in Vieira, but is he ready yet to be making the difference regularly in tough assignments or the toughest assignments? You know, we know Emile can do it. We've seen him in the Premier League before his injury being one of the leading lights of the football team. And, you know, he's really strong. If I was Emile, I think I'd probably have felt a bit frustrated last night that he's not being granted chances. And that worries me slightly because I think he was worth a go.
I think, Amy, if you were to canvas 100 Arsenal fans, who would they prefer to see in the starting lineup yesterday, Emile Smith Rowe or Fabio Vieira? I would say that it would be between 90 and 95% of fans that would have gone for Emile Smith Rowe. That's how I feel as a fan. It's nothing against Fabio Vieira. He's had some good contributions. He's clearly a player of talent. But for me, Emile Smith Rowe is a bit of a difference maker. I think he's got far better finishing ability. The way he travels with the ball is a little bit more powerful. And I think he can offer a little bit more without the ball as well. So is it a fitness issue or is it a stubbornness on the staff's part to, as you say, keep giving Vieira enough game time until he comes good? I felt last night Vieira was a little bit off it. And yeah, I would have liked to have seen either Emile Smith Rowe come on for him instead or Ødegaard to come on much earlier than he did. I think he was one of the weak links in the team last night, if I'm being honest. So, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, what's going to happen with Emile Smith Rowe. But we've got to talk about Jesus as well. I mean, I'm sure that's on your list, Donny. That was another very good cameo.
I mean, it would have been longer, wouldn't it, Adrian? I sense that they wanted to give him an hour, you know, 70 minutes or something. But obviously, with the way that we had to substitute two players in the first half, it would have made things more complicated. But that was, he looks like he's back to where he is, where he was before.
So sharp, the way that he runs with the ball, the energy, winning the ball back, making things happen, almost scored two goals in that half. I've got to say, as sensational as Trossard was at Fulham, and I think we all agree he had a truly outstanding match, seeing one half of Jesus and one half of Trossard up front in the flesh, it just makes me think Jesus has to play. If he's fit enough, I think he walks into the team on Sunday. That's my honest opinion. I think...
Because you didn't say this, you said, well, I don't particularly want to quote you back at you, but you said the other day that because you probably would start Jesus last night because he'd give him game time, but also because Trossard has earned his place to be in the starting lineup next week against Palace. Mm. But you're feeling differently now, having seen 45 minutes of Jesus.
Slightly. I just think he looks so sharp. He looks like he can make things happen. I want him in that starting 11 ASAP. And I just think that he offers so much. And the fact that he only had 45 in a funny kind of way might enhance his chances of starting at the weekend because there won't be as much fatigue hanging over him ahead of that game. It must be a consideration for Mikel Arteta to use him from the off.
And one more thing about the fatigue before we stop talking about this game. And in fact, the Europa League for hopefully quite a few years to come. Amy, extra time. I mean, I know there were a lot of people saying we lost, you know, if we're going to lose, we should lose after 90 minutes and not get the extra time and all the extra fatigue. They've got a game in about 60 hours time. I mean, I know Adrian's saying players don't think about fatigue, but I mean, I guess we'll find out whether it had a substantive effect at the weekend.
Well, I mean, we had the similar situation, albeit without extra time, but with travel last week and then played extremely well against Fulham away. So, and then even going back to that Man City defeat and the if you like, might not have been as long, but they probably put more into it physically and psychologically, then went up to Villa Park and, you know, were exceptional until well over the 90 minutes to win that game. So... I think you can overplay it and you can underplay it. And I'm pretty sure that Mikel Arteta, his staff and the players will be just trying to get them rested, prepared and get back out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
they've shown they can do it. They can, you know, they've shown that they can cope with a midweek heavyweight sort of load of some description, whether it involves travel or a massive team or whatever, and that they've responded well on the weekend.
Yeah.
It's not ideal, but it is what it is, and they can do it.
And Palace played Wednesday night, so it's only it's not as if they had a free week themselves. So,
no.
Yeah, both. And yeah, they're probably all of their first team played because it's a Premier League game. So, in a sense, I think it sort of levels itself out ahead of Sunday.
All right. Well, we'll talk about Sunday in a bit. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
We were a bit with the handbrake at time.
Ian Stone, Amy Lawrence and Adrian Clark here on The Athletic's Arsenal podcast, Handbrake Off. There's been a restructuring. There's a piece, not particularly long piece, on the Athletic website about the restructuring of the board. Basically, Stan Kroenke and his son Josh have been made co-chairs, and Tim Lewis is now executive vice chair. Amy, we never used to know any of this stuff, but we hear about it now, we read about it. What does it actually mean in practical terms? Isn't it just formalising what the roles they've already got?
More or less. Yeah. I don't think it's hugely significant. I think the only thing I find kind of interesting is that I wonder if it would have been gone down a bit differently if they'd have just made Josh chairman rather than sort of sharing it, which seems slightly odd, especially as Josh on a day-to-day level does seem to be the, you know, the one with a lot more attachment and involvement to what's going on at the club. And I think that just even from a personality point of view, he's become a more acceptable face, if you like, over the period of time that the KSC have been involved. But I think on a day-to-day level, not a lot changes. You know, they're still keeping the executive team, the board level, so to speak, quite small. They could have refreshed it by bringing in some more faces. I think that would have been quite interesting, bringing in a bit more football expertise. I think there's room on the board for someone who's an Arsenal man and a football man. That's been the case for a while. My view's not changed there. And that they didn't means, I suppose, they're happy with how things are going.
as we all are, really, to be honest. So, and we did recently, we spoke about the Cronkers on this podcast. You can go back to listen to the episode from February 23rd if you want to hear more. Adrian, you got anything to add?
No, I don't take a great deal of interest, I'll be honest, in stuff at boardroom level. The club's ticking along nicely. I've got to say, the slimmed down restructuring of a couple of years ago seems to have worked well, doesn't it? And you just got to look at the decision making on the football side from Edu and the people around him and Mikel Arteta, with Richard Garlick in there as well, of course. And I find it hard to find too many faults with the decision making that they've taken. So yeah, let's just keep rolling. That's how I look at it.
Quite. I did go to the London Football Awards on Monday night. I think I slightly scared Mikel Arteta by the excitement that I felt.
What did you do to him?
I just said, Mikel, thank you. And then I sort of set off about three or four others going, yes, thank you for everything. And
group hug?
I didn't. No. You know what it was? The suit that he had on looked so expensive and lovely. I thought, I can't touch that. I absolutely can't. It was really, he looked immaculate in every way, but we just...
It might have been quite weird if you'd have started touching his suit, frankly.
Yeah, quite. So I managed to restrain myself in the main, but I was very excited, and it set off quite a bit of excitement on the balcony. And it was a very Arsenal-heavy event. Mikel Arteta won the manager prize. Martin Ødegaard, Player of the Year, Bukayo Saka, Young Player of the Year, Rambo got Goalkeeper of the Year as well, and it was all in aid of Bob Wilson's Willow Foundation. A very Arsenal-heavy event, but it all felt pretty good.
And apparently, just to top it all off, the winner of the raffle on the night was Vinay Venkatesh.
He was. The two boys, Roman Kemp and Alex Brooker, also, who were hosting, also Arsenal fans, drew it. And it was, Vinay won the raffle. And he decided to put it back in. They drew it again.
Talking of Roman Kemp very briefly, we've been trying to get him on the show. And he's basically reserved Wolves at home on the last day of the season. He's reserved it. So he says, I do want to come in. I'll come in before, but... Can I please come in that day? And what, on your own? And he said, no, I'll bring my dad.
Bring
I was
your
like,
dad.
Yes.
Of course you'll bring your in. Dad. Yeah, we don't want you without your dad, to be honest with you. Anyway, Sunday, we play against Crystal Palace. Patrick Vieira was due to come back to the Emirates, but he got sacked this morning. They had a couple of shots. I have sort of mixed feelings about it. I mean, I guess there'll be some sort of interim manager, hopefully no sort of Sean Dyche type new manager.
They'll just borrow him from the day, won't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Adrian, we've got 11 cup finals at this point. Martin Ødegaard said it last night. We all know this, and the first one is on Sunday. Palace have no senior keeper. They've got, I think they had a 19-year-old, their third-choice goalkeeper. But in the end, we just got to play our game and turn up, and hopefully we can have another stroll like we had last Sunday.
Well, exactly. I think last Sunday's the blueprint, really, isn't it? Control matches, attack, be clinical, take the stress out of the situation. Another performance like that would be perfect. They're stubborn. I've got to say, on Vieira, very quickly, I think it's a slightly harsh decision.
Yes.
Because they've had a run of really tough fixtures, and they haven't at any stage looked disastrous. They just look short of goals. They do look well organised. They were playing for the manager. They just lacked a little bit of spark and energy, in my opinion, which they could have rediscovered, I think, ahead of the run-in. But it is what it is. They've definitely regressed from the last time we faced them. I remember them coming. Was it the 2-2 draw? We scrambled a 2-2 last season.
When Lacazette.
They were superb. Very fast, energetic. They pressed. They were awkward opponents.
They deserve to win that game.
Yeah, but they're not that team at the moment. They have regressed. So I'm hoping that that's the Palace that turn up this weekend, and that we can polish them off. But they won't be easy to roll over. I was looking at their record: 10 of 13 away games this season, they've conceded one or none. That's 10 of 13. So anyone thinking we're going to rock up and win 4 or 5-0, might want to think again. 7 goals they've conceded in their last 8 games. This is a manager that's just been sacked, by the way.
Yeah.
Conceded 7 in their last 8 games. How many have we conceded? 9. So they're not going to be easy to unpick, is how I see the game.
Amy, I mean, it's a must win. City are playing Burnley in the Cup this weekend. So if we get a win, we go 8 points clear. I mean, it doesn't really make any difference because they'll have a game in hand. But psychologically, to come back from this after what happened last night and to get a win against Palace and go into the international break with an 8-point gap, I mean, it's got to help, hasn't it, really?
Trucker, trucker, Ian. One game at a time. Just think about this one, and for what it's worth, that's the lot.
That's it. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
just very quickly on the game, a little bit more. Their midfield, I think that's where we can really dominate. Palace were obviously without João Paulinho, which helped us big time.
And Fulham. Sorry, Fulham. Yeah.
Against Fulham, sorry, yeah. And that really helped us control that midfield. And if I'm looking for an obvious weakness with Crystal Palace, you could probably say scoring goals is their weakness, but I like all of their forward players, like your Zahas and Elise and Eze. They're really talented boys. It's central midfield. And the thing is, Samba de Conga has actually been playing every week, probably been one of their better options in central midfield, and he can't play. So I do think that will help us control this match. And obviously, with a rookie keeper in, if it is the rookie, you've got to pepper him, haven't you? You've got to pepper him.
Yeah, quite. Amy, Thomas Partey came on last night. Every time he's not playing and then he comes on, and you sort of go, right, okay, that's the control of midfield. I mean, they were really pressing hard last night. Thomas Partey kept coming out with the ball. I mean, he'll be starting on Sunday, won't he? And if what Adrian's saying is right, he'll provide that measure of control that we need.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually Arsenal, if we are going to talk about last night, did play really quite well in extra time and looked very much more like the Arsenal that you hope to see. And Sporting had a lot more difficulty trying to deal with Arsenal than they did in normal time, where, you know, they were able to exert so much of their own pressure and intensity, and they dictated it in some ways the kind of pace of the game. But they couldn't do that once the changes were made. So, yeah, you'd expect everybody that you know, from here on in, you're basically
first team
in a position to pick your best 11 that are fit every game. And that fitness is key. We've got to keep as many of them rolling. And, I think everybody knows more or less what team to expect. Certainly, obviously, Saliba, the situation will be clear in the next day or so, but once that's another thing about the international breaks that's giving me the heebie-jeebies, you know. Just if anybody picks something up on international duty, I just don't think I'll be able to bear it.
If Tomiyasu hadn't been injured, I know this is a silly hypothetical, but if Saliba is out, would you, Amy, have thought of would you go holding in at centre half and keep White at right back, or would you have considered putting Ben White in at centre half and keep Tommy? Because that is a bit of a blow if that is the option that Mikel wanted to take.
No, you're right. I mean, like, we obviously all have to summon whichever gods we might believe in, or spiritual things if you're not religious at all, and let's hope Saliba's okay, because I think that sort of diamond, if you like, of Ramsdale, Saliba, Gabriel and Partey is such a foundation stone for this season.
Yeah.
And although Partey's missed the odd game, thankfully it hasn't been a long-term absence at any point for him. Everyone else has been more or less there, and I think that's so important. So keeping that diamond in place for the next 11 games, or as many of them as humanly possible, I think is really important.
Yeah, I should say, Abby has just, our producer has said, none of our Brazilians are in the international squad, so that is really a relief. I was resenting Gareth Southgate picking Bukayo Saka, I'll be totally honest with you, because I'd like him wrapped in cotton wool. When that guy went through him, at the end of the game last night, I have to say my heart was in my mouth. But anyway, he seemed to get up and come away okay. By the way, if you're a Ted Lasso fan, James from this parish was in it. You can see him.
He got mugged off in it as well, didn't he? Which was quite entertaining.
He did, although let's not, spoiler alert, but he did get mugged off by Nick Mohammed, the Nick Mohammed character. But also, he did do an interview with Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard on the show. Hunt is, by the way, a huge Arsenal fan. Here's an extract of their chat.
When he's in game day mode, like, he's such a dude that you think Jason Bourne is going to have to deal with for the entire second act of the film. But
he has a cyborg quality to him.
Yeah. And, you know, cyborg is on your side. Great. Yeah. But he sees Jason and me, and really, let's be honest, he sees Jason, and just immediate big smile, and he just says such lovely things about the show. You know, he really, and he was, you know, like thanking us for the show, and it was just kind of overwhelming. And then we were again at Emirates, and I think that must have been after the last home North London derby, because then we were on the pitch after that. And he came out and said hi, and then we're hanging out with you know, Rob Holding and Matt Turner and stuff. And so yeah, we met him a couple of times, and he really enjoys the show, and it's fucking mind blowing, you know, that someone who I care about cares about what we're doing.
That was Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard in Ted Lasso, talking to our very own James McNicholas. Like I say, you can see James in the show. Apparently, Brendan Hunt likes listening to this show as well. So, hello, Brendan. And
top man he is.
Top man.
I've got to say, honestly, people keep stopping me when I'm at Arsenal and saying, Adrian, they're not really talking about the breakdown or anything like that particularly. It's like, Adrian, love the podcast. Love Handbrake Off. I keep getting it, which is really, really nice. So,
well, thank you. We appreciate that. Because people message me as well, and it is very, very nice. It's nice, we appreciate you listening to us, and hopefully we'll have a rather exciting last few months. Let's have a song to end. Sorry, Amy, are you shaking your head? I mean, I didn't say anything there. Did I say something?
You can't help yourself all the time. just go slow, man.
This is me going slow. Can I just say, I took a visit to Bletchley Park the other day, which is where the Enigma code breaking took place during the Second World War. And there were loads of signs saying careless talk costs lives and all this stuff. And I thought, I could not have worked here. I just could not have worked here. I'd have been first day off. I'd have been going, you know what I did yesterday? I cracked Enigma. I did. I don't tell anyone. So I'm telling you now, that wouldn't have worked. So this is me at quite a low level of excitement, all right? I'm just letting you know.
Listener, I think apart from anything else, and you don't get the benefit of this, but it's the look on Stoney's face when he starts to get a bit giddy that I think really, you know, you have to keep your eye on.
I'm a glass half full sort of guy.
Can you imagine what he looked like when Mikel Arteta bumped into him? Can you imagine?
Yes. Him looking at that suit, I'm just...
Lovely suit. Listen, my granddad used to be a tailor, so I can appreciate the tailoring. I really can. Let's have a song to end the podcast. Amy, what you got?
Well, I was thinking that we just had to leave the Europa League behind us and go looking forward. So I've chosen a song called Onward by a wonderful singer-songwriter troubadour called Mark Kozelek. And if you don't know it, check it out.
All right, we will. And Adrian, what have you got for us?
Yeah, look, as much as I felt a bit flat on the way home last night, I do think it probably is a blessing in disguise going out of the Europa League. I do think there is a silver lining. So I toyed with the idea of hi-ho silver lining. Just felt too... But I haven't gone there.
It's lads in a pub at the end of the night, isn't it?
I haven't gone there. Good. It just feels wrong. It's too... Yeah,
Amy's covered
much.
Her face.
It's too much.
Point.
But what you might like is there's a song by a band called First Aid Kit, Swedish folk band, 2014. You will have heard this song on a number of adverts. It's got a really nice melody and it's called My Silver Lining. Show me my silver lining. I think it's a nice song, and I think that's how we should view what happened at Emirates Stadium last night. It could be a silver lining. Let's hope it is.
Well, on a similar vein, I've gone for Don't Matter by the Kings of Leon, because it don't matter to me. I mean, I genuinely, I'm over it already. And I certainly will be on Sunday at whatever time if we beat them. That's it then for Handbrake Off. Thanks to Amy Lawrence. Thanks to Adrian Clark. Thank you to Abby, our producer. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you after the weekend. I'm Ian Stone. See you soon. Ta-da.